praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I tell you, when you got Jesus in your heart, you can say that from your heart. Praise God. He said, told those disciples, he said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. He said, but rejoice because your name is recorded in heaven. Praise God. I tell you, when you know that all is well, you can stand before the Lord and you know that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your heart. Oh, I'm telling you, they can be rejoicing in your heart. Praise God. I tell you, I'm glad for Jesus this morning. I'm glad I know Him. I'm glad I know Him right now. In this generation, this wicked and adulterous generation, I'm glad that I know the Lord. Praise God. I'm glad I found out He's real and that He'll change lives. Praise God. I'm glad that I know that Jesus is alive. It's not just something that people lean on, as maybe Brother Rich mentioned last night, just a mental crutch that some would lean on, but I'm glad that I found out that He is alive and that He is real, and He'll come and take up His abode in a man's life, in his heart. And I appreciate Him this morning. I'm so glad for what He means to me. He saved me when I was just a young boy. I could really relate to Brother Bill's testimony, as he said he shared with some at 13 years old. And I've looked at some that was deep in sin just the same way and began to share my testimony and tell them that I got saved when I was 14. And they have that same skeptical look, you know, that how could you have been doing a lot of bad things? But I'm telling you, the Lord saved me and pulled me up out of a horrible pit and kept me from a lot of things that I would have got into. And I'm glad that He done that for me. And you know, He wants to do that for everybody. It's not the Lord's will that you go out and learn about sin so that you can have a big testimony. I've heard folks seem to think that way, but I'm telling you, the greatest testimony is the one He kept from ever going out into sin. Never experience what it's like. You don't have to go down to the bottom of sin before you've got a testimony for the Lord. Praise God. But I'm glad He reaches the vilest sinner. Whatever condition the Lord finds. And we all are, every one of us. It don't matter how young you are. You're still a vile sinner. You're deep in sin and you needed a Savior. Praise God. I appreciate Him this morning. So good to be here in Martinsville in the meeting with Brother Bill and all you folks. Good to see you. Some of you I know and some of you we don't know, but we're glad to meet you here in this meeting. And we just hope the Lord will bless us this day. Give us a good day in the Lord. Already been a good day thus far. We just pray that as the day goes on, the Lord will just pour out His Spirit on us. Let us feel His good presence. I pray that His presence will prevail throughout the meeting. Yes. Amen. And in every service. And it don't have to go according to a schedule or maybe as people might expect. I was in a meeting somewhere one time and some people had drove a long way to hear a preacher preach, and the Lord took the service and the Holy Ghost came down and the altar filled up and there wasn't no preaching that night. And I heard some of them after they was getting ready to leave, they said, we drove about 4 hours to be here to hear this preacher preach. And this is the only service we could be in. We got to go back home. But I tell you, I'd rather have the Holy Ghost come by and be in our midst. And we just submit our wills to His will and let Him have His way. Praise God. I'm glad to be here. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to read with us this morning, we'll be reading in the book of Hebrews. You pray for us this morning. The Lord would help us to be a blessing. We realize that if the Lord don't help us, we won't be very much to you here today. But if the Lord would just come by with a fresh anointing, give us that that we need. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You may be seated. Praise God. I'd like to preach this morning on making a successful run. Making a successful run. Here the Apostle Paul likens the Christian walk with God, the Christian experience, the Christian life with a race. Yes. He called it a race and he told us to run this race. And surely this is like a race. It's something we get in and we get in it to win. I didn't get in this race and this good way of holiness to lose, but I got in it to win the prize. And Paul spoke about there was a prize out there waiting for us. And that's what I got in it for, to win the prize. But the good thing about this race is everybody that gets in it can be a winner. In most races, there's only one winner. That's the first place. He gets the prize. They may award a second place or a third place, but the one that comes in the front, in the lead, he's the one that really gets the prize. But in this race with Jesus, everybody that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Everybody that finishes this race. So we must make a successful run in this race. This race that we're running on is a race all the days of our life. It's not a short term. It's not a 30-yard dash, but it's a long haul. You get in this thing to stay in it. So many people get in and they get out. They get in and they get out. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous thing for you to play with God. God's not playing. The devil's not playing. And you better be serious about this. This race that you're in, you need to be in it for all the days of your life. When you get saved, young folks, make up your mind. You're going to stay with it. All of the days of your life. Not just for a little while. Not just for a day or two. Not just for the camp meeting season. But you stay in it all your days. A lot of folks get saved every revival comes along. I'm telling you, you need to get in this thing. I remember very well as a young boy. I told you I got saved when I was 14. I was almost 15. Just about a month away from being 15 years old. And I'd been like most children that was raised in a holiness home. I'd been to the altar many times and prayed as a child, and every good service had come along. I got saved again. And you know, that's the way it was as a child coming up in the church. And that's okay. I'd rather see them down here praying every time the Spirit of the Lord moves than to sit back in the back playing. I'd go down and pray and seek the Lord. But I very well remember when I moved out of that bench, went down and knelt in the sawdust at Tacoma, Georgia. I meant business with God. I said, "Lord, I'm going to stay with you." I said, "Lord, I don't remember all the things I said, but I remember the things in my heart." I said, "Lord, I am willing to cast my lot with the people of God." I thought about
Christians that I had great confidence in. I thought about some of those warriors. My granddaddy Beecham, he was one of those in my mind. I said, Lord, I'm willing to be like they are. I'm willing to live like they live. I want to go to heaven and I'm going to meet it this time, Lord. And that's been 25 years ago. Almost 25 years ago. And I ain't been sad that I made that choice. I ain't never looked back and wished I'd have done it different. I'm glad I got in when I got in. I'm telling you, you need to get in to stay in. This is a long haul. It's not just a little short run. I mean to tell you, you need to get in it. As a lady there in our church told me just the other night, said she'd been saved 62 years, Sister Ruth Whitehead. Some of you know her. 62 years. She got in to stay in. Praise God. Stay in this thing. Don't quit. Don't stop. You may think you're having a hard time, but just keep on running for Jesus. It's going to pay off after a while. Praise God. I tell you, you got to get in this race, folks. Notice the first thing he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. I'm going to tell you, the only way you get in this race is to forsake sin. Amen. You don't get in this race any other way except you forsake sin and get out of the sinning business. Ain't no other route. We know the worldly churches today, the religious folks of today, the majority of them, they've decided since they ain't never learned what sanctification was and they just kept sinning all along, they finally developed the doctrine and said, well, we all got to sin a little every day. But I'm telling you, if you're going to run this race for Jesus, you're going to have to get out of the sinning business. Every known sin in your life, you're going to have to commit it to the Lord and forsake it. And as you go along this way, there'll be other things the Lord will show you. Do you know the Lord will lead you on into holiness? There's been folks got saved, never heard a holiness preacher preach. Never knew what cleaning up from the world was. But when the Lord saved them, they'd done everything they knew that was right. They said, I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. And when they got up the next morning, they might have not have known that it was wrong for a man to smoke a cigarette. And they reached for the pack of cigarettes and put them in the pocket. And all of a sudden, a little voice says, don't do that. You're saved now. I'm telling you, the grace of God that brings salvation, it teaches us that the non-ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. It'll teach you some things along this journey. You won't just get in today and learn it all. No, I don't care how long you've been saved. You're not too far along the journey to find out some more. You ain't got so far up the ladder that the Lord still won't show you things. You may think you have arrived, but you haven't yet. There's still some things you're going to learn, and the Lord will show you some things. I tell you, if you ain't found out something right lately, you just ain't praying as much as you need to, probably. I find out the more I pray, the more He shows me. The more I seek His face, the more I learn about Him. The more I seek the Lord, and the more time I spend in prayer, the more I find out He wants me to do some things to please Him and to walk in this good race. I'm telling you, I've been saved 25 years, and all along the way, the Lord has shown me some things. Say, your load's a little too heavy. You need to lighten it up right here. And He'll tell me to lay some things aside. I tell you, some folks, it's a burden down with worries and cares. That they can't hardly get their hands up in the house of God. Oh, they come so whipped out when they come to church. I'm telling you, you need to do some praying at home before you get to the house of God. You pray at home, when you come to church, you might be able to worship the Lord. You might be able to lift up holy hands. You might be able to say glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We ought to have a praise coming from our heart. We ought not to wait till the music gets loud. If that's the only time you can worship the Lord, you must not be worshiping Him. Must have something to do with the music. Amen. Some places you go, Oh boy, they get in the music and they can worship the Lord in music. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh yeah, he said praise him with the loud cymbals. Oh yeah, he said praise him with the stringed instruments and with the trumpets. He told him, he said praise him with the musical stuff. That's great and wonderful. But I'm telling you, if that's the only time you can worship the Lord, you might better check up. You ought to be able to worship him when you pray. You ought to be able to worship him when the word of God's being declared. You ought to be able to worship him in testimony. You ought to be able to worship him in witnessing to the world out there. There ought to be something in your life that's a burning on the inside. It comes to the outside and ain't nothing nobody can do to stop it. It just comes out anyway. Praise God. I've been some places before when I held my peace as long as I could hold it. Amen. You know why? There's something on the inside. Amen. Began to bubble up. And I said, that ain't the way I found it. Amen. The Lord done something in my heart. He changed me. I did not start practicing to be a Christian. No. I heard a man on the radio give an answer to a lady. She said, I got saved. Pastor so-and-so comes on the radio and he answers questions. And said, I just can't quit cussing. And I can't quit doing other things. I remember that. She named several things. Said, I just can't quit it. He said, well, did you repent of your sins? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? She said, yes, I do. He said, well, you're saved. He said, you just got to practice this a little bit. I said, oh, God, listen to all the ears out there listening to that deception, that old deceiving spirit. Oh, there's somebody else sitting over there saying, well, I thought I wasn't saved, but I must be too, because I believe in Jesus. Somebody else said, oh, I thought I wasn't saved, but I must be too, because I believe in him too. And no doubt multitudes and multitudes of people being deceived. But I'm telling you, brother, this thing is just as real today. He'll clean you up from sin. He'll take the cusser on out. Yes, sir. He won't stay in there. When Jesus moves in, he'll move out. Praise God. He'll change you. Praise God. You'll have to lay down every sin, every weight and the sin that so easily besets you if you're going to run this race. You'll wear out if you can't do that. And he told us to run this race with patience. Oh, what a lesson for this generation to learn. We don't know. This generation here is, I mean, it's the most instamatic generation we've ever had. I mean, if we want an instant home, all you got to do is go down, sign the paper somewhere, and you say, well, I don't know about my credit. Just hold on a minute. They'll pop it right up. In just a minute, you ain't got to worry about too much. No application to fill out. He'll just ask you a few questions, check your social security number and a few other things. Next thing you know, he'll say, oh yeah, we can sell you this home. We'll set it up. I ain't got no land. We'll take care of that too. That's the day we live in. It's that way in every area of our life. I mean, children today, before they're born, we don't wait around to find out what they are. Ain't no patience, are they? That's modern technology. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's the way we live it. It's the things we do. I mean, we got instant meals, got microwave ovens and dishwashers and washing machines and all the modern conveniences makes things happen quick. We expect things to happen quick. But I'm telling you, on this race with Jesus, everything ain't quick. No, sir. You can't just get up in the morning and open an instant prayer. Expect to run this race with Jesus. Oh no, it don't come like that. You may have instant potatoes or an instant oatmeal or quick grits or a box of cereal. You might get by with that, but you don't get by with instant prayers. No, it takes some time. Oh, we got to run this race with patience. We got to wait on the Lord when we don't know which way to go. You better not get in too big a hurry. You better sit down and wait on Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It takes patience in this race. You're going to have to run with some patience. You're going to have to wait on the Lord. The Lord's got His own time. The Lord's got His own schedule, and it ain't my schedule, and it ain't your schedule, but it's His schedule, and He's the one that sets these things. He's the one that sets the bounds. He's the one that's controlling all of it. We just got to keep on running. Keep on waiting. When you're in a long race, you don't start out wide open. You patiently pace yourself. If you start running too hard on a long race, you'll give out. You'll be sitting on the sideline somewhere over holding your side. You won't be able to keep running. But I'm telling you, in this race with Jesus, you got to pace yourself. Keep your eyes on the goal. Hallelujah. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm telling you, when you're in this race, you got to keep your focus right. Your focus has got to be on Jesus and not everybody else. I said, your focus has got to be on Jesus and not everybody else. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord and not on present circumstances. You know, some people, their faith is bound up and is built in the things that's going on in their life right now. They say, oh, the Lord is blessing me so good. Everything's going good for me. I got a new job. It's paying me good. And we just had a new baby. And everything is all right. And my family's getting along good. And this and that and the other. And they begin to count all the material blessings of life. And they're happy in Jesus. But just let a little problem come along. And they lose a job. And they have a problem here. And their wife gets sick. Or they get down. I'm telling you, if they ain't careful, their faith will be weakened. I'm telling you, you can't have your faith in things of this earth. You can't have your faith built on circumstances round about you. But your faith has got to be in none other but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of righteousness. You got to keep your eyes and focus on Jesus. Don't you lose your focus. Oh, prosperity has caused a lot of people to lose their focus. Do you know that? Making money's caused a lot of people to lose their focus. They started making money and things started changing. They quit praying like they are to. They didn't need to. They thought. They didn't need to pray so much. They thought. Things was going good. They thought. I'm going to tell you something. You got to pray when things is going good and when things is going wrong. Sometimes the Lord brings things our way. It causes us to go to our knees. But I'm telling you, I'd like to go to my knees when things is going good. Not wait on the Lord to bring tragedy my way to cause me to go to my prayer closet. I want to be faithful to mine every day in the good and the bad, for better or for worse, for rich or for poor. It don't make no difference. It's a vow that we make with the Lord when we come to Him. Yes, sir. It's like a husband and a wife. With a bride. With a bride. He's a bridegroom. Oh, we come in covenant with Him. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, you better be committed to Christ regardless of what comes your way. You better be committed to Christ. It don't matter if you lose your job. It don't matter if your family turns against you. It don't matter if your friends turn against you. You better be committed to Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm telling you, He's the one that began this good work in me. And He's going to be the one that will keep me to the end. He's going to say the last word. He's going to have the last amen. Praise God. Over in the book of Revelation, it said in one of those churches He's talking to, He said, I am the amen. I like that. He's the end. He's going to be the one that closes the book. He's going to be the one that says, this is it. He's the end. He's calling the shots. Praise God. Jesus Christ. I tell you, when we look unto Jesus, folks, we see a great example of how to run this race. When we're looking unto Jesus, we're looking unto the greatest example we have in running this race. This race running, He's our example of it. He came down in flesh, put on the robe of flesh. Yes, sir. Jesus did. The Bible said, and the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Yes, sir. That Christ, the Son of God, came down from the throne of glory and put on the robe of flesh and was born of a Virgin Mary and lived and walked among men. And he set examples for us that we may follow them. I'm telling you, one of those examples as we go along our journey, you're running in this race. If you want to run good, you're going to have to pray. Jesus was an example of that. Oh, Jesus prayed. Oh, the Bible tells us about Jesus going up into the mountains and praying all night. The Bible tells us about Jesus going into the wilderness 40 days and fasting and praying. Yes, sir. The Bible tells us in other places where Jesus went along and prayed. He'd leave his disciples and go off and find a place alone and begin to pray. He was God in flesh. If he had to pray, how much more so should you and I pray? How much more so should we steal away and find us a quiet place somewhere and steal it all with God and call on the name of the Lord? I'm telling you, and it ain't going to be just a once in a while thing if you run this race. No. Oh, just as a good run and exercise for the athlete is to prepare him for a race, so is prayer to the Christian and preparing us in our race. It's an exercise program for the Christian. And as that's time spending with the Lord and praying and seeking the face of God and calling on the name of the Lord. Because I'll tell you, friend, these things we face, you don't know what to do. How will you know direction? I tell you, it ain't talking to everybody you know about it either. I talked to one man, he called me up, wanted to talk to me about some problems he's having in his church. I was glad to talk to him. Sometimes it does help to talk to people. But before I got finished, I found out he'd done talked to so many folks, and he was so confused, I don't know what good my advice would have done him. You talk to everybody in the country, why, you'll get everything. I'll tell you who you really need to talk to, and that's Jesus. You'll talk to the Lord. The Lord, He'll help you. Jesus was that example of prayer for us. The Bible says there that night before He was taken away to be crucified, He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible said He led His disciples out there and He went a little further with James and Peter, James and John. And they went a little further with Him. And then Jesus went on out into the garden and prayed. And oh, I'm telling you, when He got out there, He had to commit His will to the Father. Do you know that's one of the other examples Jesus set for us? We got to be willing to surrender our will to His will. We got to commit ourselves unto Him. We got to be willing to do the will of the Father. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, that's who's going to enter in. Jesus went out there. He had to submit His flesh to be willing to do the will of the Father. He went out there, the Bible says, and He prayed. He said, Lord, if there be any other way, if this cup could pass by me, if there's any other way, He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, I'm telling you, He prayed there. The Bible tells us about an hour, and He went back and found the disciples sleeping, and He woke them up. He said, you better pray. You better watch and pray. That's a warning to you and I today. We better pray. We better not waste our time. We better use our time wisely. Praying and seeking the face of God. I'm going to tell you something. We need every bit of prayer we can get in. You won't pray too much. What you prayed yesterday was good for yesterday. You need to pray again for today. Jesus taught us in the prayer of the Lord's Prayer. He said, give us this day our daily bread. You don't pray enough today for next week. No, I know we pray and try to stay prayed up for the things that we may face, but you need prayer again next week. You need prayer again in the morning. He said, give us this day our daily bread. That ain't just natural provision, folks. No, but Jesus said, I'm that bread of life that cometh down from up there. Hallelujah. He said, not like the manna did in the wilderness. No, He said, but I'm the bread of life. Praise God. We need that bread of life. We need that bread that comes down from above. That the Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We can sit down at the Lord's table and begin to feast and get our soul fed and get the things that we need from God. I'm telling you, that's where you're going to get what you need from the Lord. It's at a table that the Lord has spread before you, and you can't get enough today to hold you for no 2 or 3 weeks. No, you need a fresh supply every day as it was in the wilderness. He didn't let them get enough manna to last them next day. Worms got in it. Other than the day before the Sabbath, he did. He let them get enough that day and the Sabbath day. But no other day would he allow that to be done. That's because he wanted them to make provision today for the Sabbath day. He wants us to make provision today for the Lord's day too, folks. He wants us to make provision for that day. Yes, sir. Yeah, the Lord wants us to make our provisions now or Saturday for us for the Lord's day, Sunday. Don't wait till Sunday to make your provisions. Say, well, the ox is in the ditch. You might have pushed him there. Amen. But I'm talking about a daily provision from the Lord. Oh, and we get that in prayer. And Christ was our example of that. Yes, sir. He got a daily provision. He prayed. He made himself, he submitted himself to the life that you and I have to live. And he committed himself to the will of the Father and submitted his will to God's will. You're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to commit your ways to God. You're going to have to submit your will to God's will. That's what's not so easy for Christian folks a lot of times. Submitting your will to God's will. Oh, you know, it ain't too hard to submit to God's will, as long as it's kind of what you wanted anyway. Sometimes it ain't what you wanted. Matter of fact, I'm convinced to believe a lot of times it ain't what you wanted. Probably most of the time it ain't what you wanted. It ain't what you thought it would be. It's been that way with me. I've had to submit to some things. I remember a brother before the Lord, right after the Lord called me to preach, I remember a brother coming to me, a young minister. He come to me, he wanted to make an agreement with me, a covenant with me. He said, Brother Glenn, he said, I believe you want the Lord's will in your life. I said, I do. He said, well, I do too. He said, let's do some fasting together to seek the will of God. I said, that sounds good to me. I already had some fast days. And he said, let's fast a certain day. I said, whatever day you want to fast. We called a day and we fasted. Done it for a long time, seeking the will of God. And I'm going to tell you something. God showed us his will. It wasn't just what we thought it might be. Things didn't turn out the way we always figured it would. He might move you. Amen. You might think you're going to live. I thought I'd be a Georgia boy all my life. Amen. There wasn't one little itch in my bones making me to want to get up and leave Jackson County, Georgia. I liked it. I knew everybody around there just about it. I had my own business there in that town. But I'm going to tell you, when you begin to submit your will to God's, he liable to move you no telling where. He liable to do something in your life, but I'm telling you, the rewards. I said the rewards are great. Hallelujah. The rewards are great. Praise God. If you'll just surrender to the Lord. See, he's got an all-seeing eye. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your frame. He knows what you think about. He knows your desires. He knows your talents. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. And he knows what you need to do. You'll get right in the right channel. Praise God. It's kind of like out there in the garden trying to dig a hole with a rake. That don't work too good. Get you a shovel, you might get something done. If you'll just get in God's will and let him place you where you work the best and do what he wants you to do, you might get something accomplished for the Lord and not beat it to air. Praise God. Examples we find in Jesus. I'm telling you, the Lord has set examples for us as we run this race. There are things the Lord has displayed for us and said, you need to run this way. Oh, how we need to pray and seek the face of God. How we need to submit ourselves unto the will of God. Oh, we need to be committed unto God. Oh, the Lord has set these things before us. And He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to do what He wants. I'll tell you another example the Lord set for us. The Lord didn't come for His own benefit. He didn't come for Himself. Why did He come? The Bible said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, through who? Jesus Christ, might be saved. That's why He come. He didn't come for Himself, but the angel of the Lord told Him, said, for He shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He come for somebody else. I'm going to tell you, folks, there ain't no place for selfishness in this race. There ain't no room for selfish gain in this race. I'm out for number one. I'm out for myself. I can't worry about everybody else. Am I my brother's keeper? That kind of attitude, there ain't no room for that. We're in this thing for everybody. We're in this thing for the kingdom of God. We ought to win all that we can for Jesus. The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. I'm going to tell you something. You better have a vision of seeing other people saved. You better have a vision to see somebody else get in. Praise God, I ain't just running this race just for myself, but I'm trying to pull everybody I can with me. I'm trying to get somebody else to come on board. I'm trying to tell that poor lost drunk or that prostitute down the road, you can be saved. Jesus loves you and you can get in. Come on, let's go. There's a better life than this. There's a better way than this. There's everlasting life. There's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's something better than what the world's got out there. There's something better than these formal churches. And they come in, somebody says glory, everybody turns. Something better than that. Praise God. Hey, something better than just a form and a fashion. You go in and you behave yourself on Sunday morning and you go out there in the world and live like you want to. Just a man right there in our community the other day telling me about an 85-year-old black man on crack cocaine. 85-year-old. Drinks bad. But he said he can be drunk Saturday night. Sunday morning comes, he's going to church. Says, I'm a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. There's something better than that, folks. Amen. Oh, yeah. We got something to offer the world. That poor man needs to be told about what Jesus will do for your heart. That man needs to be told that there's a change will come in your life. That man needs to be told that there's something better than what he's got. Let me share this example with you and I'll try to close. I was at a man's house one day visiting him. He was an alcoholic. Bad, bad alcoholic. Later preached his funeral. To my knowledge, he never got saved. Somebody said he did pray a little. I really don't know. I'll just leave it there. But he was a terrible alcoholic. I had visited him a number of times, picked him up on the side road, carried him, get kerosene, carry him home, just trying to help him. Bible said, as therefore you have opportunity, let us do good to all, A-L-L men. Especially them in the household of faith. That includes the drunkard. Yes, sir. That includes everybody. And I was down there visiting him at his home and he was about drunk. And I don't stay long when he's like that. I just go in, talk to him a little bit and tell him a little bit about Jesus. And I was leaving his house and a guy pulls up on a little old moped. I'd never seen him before. And there in McCall, you recognize most of the faces, just a small town. I didn't know this man. He pulled up. He got off his moped and I soon saw that he was under the influence of alcohol also. I walked over to him, introduced myself, told him who it was. I said, a pastor of the little church right down the road here, right around the corner. He began to cry. I mean, just weeping and crying. And you know how old drunk can do sometimes. If you ever been around them, they just cry and just slobber and snot and everything. Just run, just pitiful sight, pitiful. That's the way he's doing. I mean, just snobbing and wiping his arm on his face and just pitiful sight. He pulled a picture out of his shirt pocket, showed me a picture of his wife and a child. I can't remember now if it's a boy or girl. He said, "That's my wife, and that's my child." He said, "But they won't live with me no more." He said, "They left me." He said, "They run me off," rather, is what he said. He said, "I ain't got no place to go, no place to stay. Nobody loves me." He's crying, just get uncontrollable at times. And then he'd get himself together a little bit and talk some more. And he said, "Look what God done to me." I tell you what you need, friend. You need Jesus. He said, "No, that wasn't what he needed. Look what God done to me." I said, "Let me tell you something, neighbor. God didn't do this to you." No, God didn't do this to you. I said, "You've done this to yourself." I said, "The Bible says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I said, "You've been living a life, and now you're reaping it." I said, "Your mom and daddy may have lived the same way. I don't know how they lived. And you may reap something from them. But I'm telling you, God didn't do this to you." I said, "But I'll tell you what God will do. He'll get you out of it. He'll help you out of it. He'll fix it for you." Praise God. I'm telling you this morning, He's the answer. He's the answer. Amen. I read a little story the other day. I'll share this with you too. Said a man went into a barber shop and he was talking to the barber. Said the man there cutting his hair. Said the barber said they talked about a lot of different subjects, and after a while God come up in the subject. And the man that was having his hair cut was a Christian. And the barber wasn't. He was an atheist. And said the barber told him, said, "Sir, I don't believe there is no God." He said, "Why would you say that, sir? Why would you say there is no God?" He said, "Well, look around. Look at all the poverty. Look at all the homeless people. Look at the drunkards and look at this." And he began to name problem areas in the society. He said, "If there was a God, it wouldn't be like that." Said the Christian man sat there in the barber chair, really didn't know what to say and decided just to be quiet. They went on and talked about other things and he left the barber shop. He went down the street and as he went out the door, there was a long-haired, shaggy fella with an unkempt beard walking down the street. And the guy turns around and runs back into the barber shop. He said, "Hey, fella, there must not be no barbers around." "No," he said, "they must not. Barbers must not be real." And the fella said, "Oh, what do you mean by that?" He said, "I'm a barber." He said, "Oh," he said, "but I just walked outside of your store here and I seen a man with long, unkempt hair and a long beard. And so they must not be barbers, must not be real." He said, "If he'd just come in here, I'd give him a haircut." He said, "That's the way I feel about God. If people just come to him, he'd help them. They ain't come to him. That's where the trouble's at. It ain't got nothing to do with a God being there. They just ain't turned to him yet." Praise God. I'm telling you, if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus and keep following Him, He'll make you run a successful run after a while. Success is not rated among the things that you earn in this life, but I'm telling you what's going to determine whether you're successful or not is when you come across the finish line. Amen. When you make a step over the finish line and say, "Here I am, Lord." And He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." It don't matter how slow you was to get there. Just patient. Amen. Just patient. I'm going to get there. I'm going to cross the line. I seen a boy run a race one time with a broke leg. He kept on running. His old leg was broke, but he ran until he went across the finish line. And you know what? He won first place. He kept on going. I tell you, that's the way you and I are going to be. We got to keep on going. Whether we wounded, whether we hurt, whatever the problem is, we got to keep on running. Hallelujah. Oh, let us run this race with patience. that is set before us is truth. Come to the piano. I'm telling you this morning, we're a pilgrim. Press on. Oh, I like that song. It says, press on, weary pilgrim. Press on. You might feel weary this morning, but I want to encourage you in the Lord. Keep running. Young person, that devil may have come to you and said, you just will quit. You just will stop. I'll tell you what you need to do. Get back in that altar. Begin to cry and repent unto the Lord. Say, I'm going to run on for Jesus a little while. I'm going to run on. Oh, yeah. 25 years. Don't think the devil ain't told me that. I never wanted to. I never wanted to quit. I can honestly say that. I ain't never wanted to quit. But that old lying devil come along before. Said, why don't you just quit? I said, I believe I'm going to run on for Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe I'll run on for Jesus. Run on, children. Run on. Take somebody with you. Don't let your labor be in vain. Oh, yeah. Paul talked about running in vain. He wasn't talking about lest he would fall and be lost, but that he wouldn't gain some to go with him. Oh, I'd hate to know that I went through this life and the only person I ever touched was myself. Did I let my light shine before men? They may see my good works. Oh yes, they'd see your good works, but not to glorify you, but to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. When you do good for Jesus, it brings glory and honor to God. That's one of my little children up there. He's one of mine. She's one of mine. I'm telling you this morning, let's run on for Jesus. Would you stand? Run on, children, run on. This race you're in this morning is the most important race you've ever been in. It's the most important thing you've ever done. It's more important than anything else in this life. Just keep on running. Keep on running. Would you come this morning? Let's gather in the altar. Let's seek the Lord this morning. Would you come? Oh, yes. I got to make it. I've got